Chapter 60. January 27th of year 19. We start out early in the morning by Earth time. Almost 200 kilometers lie ahead of us before we reach the coast, but I do not expect any problems. My view from above showed me that the forest is going to stay basically unchanged, and this should also hold true for the forest floor. Just in case, though, I modified my walking appendages. Now I have four legs that I can move independently. This way, I can safely traverse even difficult terrain. To keep my balance, I placed my torso in the middle and added a section to my arms. "What do you call that thing between the lower and the upper arm?" asks Eve. I know Eve is only teasing me, but I answer without hesitation, "A middle arm," she replies with a giggle. "You look like a fat spider someone tore a couple of legs off of," Adam says. When he says it, it almost sounds like a compliment. He has a cheerful demeanor, just like Eve. It is good to be on the move again. If I had not received a signal, I would have been forced to invent one. About an hour or so after our first rest break, I hear the rushing of water. Soon afterward, Adam and Eve perceive it too. "It must be one of the rivers we saw from space," I say. The two of them hurry along. We are really lucky. We have found something new on our very first day. And after 20 minutes, we reach the side of the stream. It runs from west-southwest to east-northeast. Our plan was to walk straight to the east. "Should we follow the river? Then we'll get to the coast 2 days later." "Absolutely not, Marchenko," Adam says. I suspect that he is less focused on the time lost than on the adventure of crossing the stream.
"A little swimming certainly wouldn't hurt us," Eve adds.
"If you think so," I reply, "but I don't want to hear any complaints about the water being too cold. I will carry your luggage, but not you two," I say somewhat jokingly. The forest starts to thin out, ending about 100 meters from the riverbank. The treeless area is covered with mushrooms. There is no shore visible. The water must start right beyond the mushrooms, or the last ones are already standing in the water. "I'll go ahead," I say, "just to see whether it is safe and to test the depth." It's good I can count on using four legs. This way I can stand safely and still check what is under the water with a free leg. I find the bottom is covered with sand and pebbles, and I do not detect any aquatic plants. The water temperature is about 14 degrees. Adam and Eve are going to complain, but in the end, it's what they wanted to do. I run a chemical and microbiological analysis without finding anything potentially harmful to humans. Although the water will taste slightly salty, it is potable.
"You can get in," I call them.
Adam and Eve advance to my position, but the dense cover of mushrooms does not make it easy for them. I take their backpacks. Adam undresses down to his underwear and hands me his clothes. Eve blushes slightly and then takes off her outer clothes as well, but chooses to keep her t-shirt on. Adam does not wait long and marches straight ahead until he feels water cover his feet for the first time.
"This is going to be rough," he says, shaking himself.
"Should I carry you across?" I ask. The distance to the other shore is about 80 meters. The river seems to be shallow, no more than a meter and a half at the deepest spot, and it flows slowly.
"Absolutely not," Adam says.
He squeals when Eve splashes him with water from behind. Both of them race forward, leave the mushrooms behind, and glide into the shallow water while uttering loud screams. I'm curious whether the swimming exercises they learned and practiced while traveling through space has helped.
"Can you forget a skill like this?"
For the sake of safety, I follow them at a distance of a few meters. I watch as the two of them dog paddle through the water. On board Messenger, they neither had the time nor the space to develop an efficient swimming style. But this is working fine. They have to expend so much effort that they do not have a chance to feel cold anymore. Adam swims ahead. Eve follows him about 1.5 meters behind and to the side. They keep watching each other and shout something only they can understand. Then events escalate. Adam suddenly is standing up in the water, which reaches to his belly button. He tries to call out but cannot manage to do so. He points at the spot where Eve was swimming, and now I understand what he means to say. Eve is gone. I stomp ahead to cross the few remaining meters and barely manage to come to a stop. Below me is a rectangular black hole, and it looks as if something punched a hole into the river bottom here. A strong current pulls in river water at one end and spits it out at the other.
Time is short. The human brain can only survive for 3 minutes without oxygen. The timer in my head is already starting a countdown. I let my entire body fall into the hole. During my descent, I measure the depth, approximately 8 meters. Where is Eve? I activate my searchlight and my ultrasound sensors. The walls of this chamber have an irregular shape. There, in the left corner. Could that be her body? Another 65 seconds. The current is strong. My four legs are impractical down here. My body is too heavy, and my hands ought to be 3 times larger to propel me faster while swimming. Is that her? I reach for the shadow, but it dissolves under my fingers. Go on. She must be there. Turn around, Marchenko. Maybe she's stuck against a wall. Infrared. Look for her body heat. There she is. The timer has arrived at 0. I reach her at minus 20, and I grab her body. Trying to quickly move upward, minus 40, but I'm like a block of iron with little buoyancy. My four legs are kicking as fast as they can. Minus 60, I should be up there soon where there is light, and much more critical, air. The timer in my head indicates minus 90. Eve has been without oxygen for at least 4.5 minutes. It is impossible that she has survived this. I fold two of my legs to form a kind of table and place Eve on it. I feel for her pulse. Her heart is beating, but she is not breathing. Am I going completely insane now? This is impossible, but it is happening. Her pulse is slightly elevated at 92, but her chest does not move up and down. Then she suddenly spits out a gush of water and inhales deeply, like a baby taking its first breath. Great! She is alive! But how can this be? I run an X-ray scan of her body and discover something. 2 skin folds have opened below her ribs. I pull her t-shirt up a bit and examine these folds. Inside are gills. They were activated because she could no longer breathe normally. And this must be one of the basic modifications even I did not know of. But why didn't I notice this earlier? I've known Adam and Eve since they were babies. I should have noticed the skin folds, even if they were always closed tight. There's only one possible answer. I have a filter integrated into my consciousness that will not allow me to see things I should not see. I am shocked, but I do not have time to reflect on this because Adam is staring wide-eyed at Eve's belly. What does she have there? His voice is almost squeaky. He is about to get hysterical. Do I have that too? Eve opens her eyes, first looking at me, then at Adam. He bites his lips and manages to calm down a bit. What am I doing here? Eve asks. Do you remember anything? I ask her. Something pulled me down. It happened so fast, and then everything went black. And then I woke up here, she says, trying to sit up. Wait a moment, I say. There seems to be something you need to know. I told you back on Messenger that you have been genetically optimized, but obviously not even I knew everything about it. You have gills here on your belly, and they saved your life. Now I cannot hold Eve back. She sits up on one of my folded legs in order to look at her belly. The skin folds are already starting to dry, and the drier they get, the more they merge with the skin. By tonight, you probably won't be able to see them anymore, I say. Do I have those also? Adam tries to find the folds on his belly, but in vain. I can search with X-rays if you want me to, I reply. Please do, he says. I really need to know. And indeed, I detect gills in him too. Normally, they must lie inside the subcutaneous layer, which has a more complicated structure. And you really didn't know anything about it? Asks Adam, with a skeptical look. Would I have dived so frantically to reach Eve if I had known? I answer. I could have just waited until she swam back by herself. Adam shakes his head, but then decides to believe me. Yeah, that sounds logical, he says. But why can you now see our gills? I suspect there was some kind of programmed mental block which is now gone. Because now they are known, Eve adds. Might we have other abilities we know nothing of? Possibly, Adam, but I am afraid we won't find out until there is no other choice. Marchenko, I pity you, Eve says. They played around with our bodies, but they manipulated your mind. That must be a terrible feeling. Eve is right, but I don't have the time to deal with the issue. At least I keep telling myself that. We have to finish crossing this river first, I say. I assume you don't mind sitting on my shoulders, considering these circumstances? Adam and Eve are nodding. They seem to have had enough of swimming for right now.